Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Tonight, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by tech writer Kyra Pace and teacher Lori Fisher.
Gotta be this or that.
And here's your moderator, Donna Rodriguez. Like, is it your drag name, Dana?
Thank you. Kyra will like that. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely, if rainy, Sunday, and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so, of course, we're counting on your participation out there. You have absolutely no reason to go outside, so please stay by your radio and give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or there's also a toll-free number. Yes, really, there is. And that is 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Since we did the driving for you, driving through the rain to get here, so you don't have to go anywhere. Yeah. Leave the driving to us, as they used to say. So we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever else people brought in. So, again, it's Minds Over Matter. Just want to remind you of our email address, which, strangely enough, is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word, and that is at yahoo.com. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. What happened?
Does my microphone work?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, everybody can. Okay. Sorry.
And if you like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world, and I've done that at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear a podcast of this show, and many do, believe it or not, and that will also be at kalw.org and iTunes and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Reasonably soon after our show tonight. Okay, all that being said, I don't think I forgot anything. We will start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Today, comma, Kyra Pace is wearing blue jeans, comma, track shoes, and a T-shirt she bought at the merch booth, I think I pronounced that right, of a live show, which is to say she's dressed like a woman.
I'm sorry. All my clothes come from merch booths.
A lot of women.
Can we verify that? She is.
Yes, today.
Absolutely.
Neutral Milk Hotel.
Excuse my ignorance. What's a merch booth?
Oh, those are the people that sell.
Oh, merchant.
Yeah.
Merchandise.
Yeah, merchandise.
You've heard these terms before.
The kids in their slang, I don't understand.
Sure.
We're fans of Neutral
this
Milk
is
Hotel.
Neutral Milk Hotel at the Fox.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. That's an attractive scarf, too, by the way.
Oh, wait, thank you. It's very ladylike.
Matches her hair.
Yeah. Lori Fisher is hoping, possibly against hope, to make it to the end of Minds Over Matter without hearing the current or final score of the Super Bowl from callers, from his fellow panelists, the radio, or telepathy.
It's not going to happen, but right. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that the Patriots must be feeling a little deflated about now.
All right. Yeah. Since our esteemed president said that they were going to win by 8,
Who was going to win?
The Patriots were going to win by 8. I'm all the more happy that
it's an alternative fact.
Yes. Yeah. But Kyra, now, a slightly personal question. Where are you from originally?
I am from here.
Oh, really? Because you said, when you said out, it just sounded like you had a very slight Canadian accent.
I get that. No, I'm Northern Californian. I grew up in Sunnyvale before my parents moved us to Orlando, where I also didn't fit in. Then I was in California again, and then Michigan, and then back in California. So,
all right, too much information.
Yeah, just kind of all.
I just wondered,
can we
interview her? Did you live amongst the Canadian refugees or anything like that?
No, I didn't live in their camps.
Anyway, So anyway, no, thank you for that. And I was just kidding about that. Okay, so we're going to start with you, Kara.
You're the first. Okay. I'll just do three quick questions all about cooking. What dessert, whose name comes from Tagalog for mixed together, is made of shaved ice, evaporated milk, and your choice of inclusions?
My choice of inclusions?
Your choice.
I get to choose for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Shaved ice, evaporated milk, and your choice of inclusions.
Mm-hmm. Comes from Tagalog for mixed together.
Well,
do they sell those at Taco Bell?
They don't.
All right.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I suppose there's a Taco Bell somewhere in the Philippines, maybe, that serves them. But
so it sounds like they make them to order, right? They shave the ice, put in the milk, and then have my inclusions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate,
yes.
Or pistachio,
yeah,
nuts,
or
something.
Sweet beans, or
is this a dish we'll all know the name of when you say it?
They sell it over at Mitchell's, so there's definitely some in the city.
And it's good merch,
right?
Did you grab one of those in Canada?
I did not.
All right.
I don't know.
Is there a more common what would you say would be the common third ingredient? Because you said shaved ice, and
it would be like asking what's the third ingredient of ice cream. It's, you know, there's cream and there's sugar and then there's whatever flavor you want it
like
to
be.
Like a fruit or something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's more
coconut,
likely to be a fruit thing. Yeah.
Or a sweet bean.
Okay. Oh, a sweet bean.
Yeah.
And this is pretty common, you would say?
In the USA? Not so much in the USA.
No.
But we will have heard of it, you think, when you say the name. When one of our callers calls in because we're stalling.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so.
We're hedging our bets against
I don't know.
Ignorant.
Should I go to the next cooking question?
No, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. What part of the pig are you eating if you're eating a hog maw?
The jowl?
No, that's what I would have thought, too.
Yeah.
No,
ooh.
It's not.
I jumped on the maw too soon.
Right?
M-A-W?
M-A-W. Mm-hmm.
Hog maw.
Oh.
Although it is part of the same system as the jaw.
Okay.
So would it be like the neck area? Maybe?
No.
The tongue?
No.
No. Would it be an ingredient I would put in the first thing with the shaved ice and the milk?
I suppose you could, but I'm not eating
it.
Okay.
All right. All right, so do you want to give your last cooking question?
And then the last one is a question actually written by a buddy of mine named Hicks who wrote, Edmund McIlhenny didn't found his namesake company in any Mexican state in 1868, but in which Mexican state did he most ironically not found it?
Whoa. Someone in the studio audience knows.
Studio audience,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Or they, silent they, studio
they're
audience.
Very... They're very good.
Right.
So I don't even understand
Jalisco.
The question.
Nope.
The Yucatan.
Nope.
Okay. So we're trying to get the state that this thing is not named after. Is that it?
That it wasn't founded in. The company wasn't founded in. The product does not come from this Mexican state.
Okay.
There's an ironic answer to that.
Yeah. It's going to be a famous product.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the booth also has it.
The booth, everybody in the building knows except for Dana and me.
Yeah. The booth should call in.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Garrett with Hayward.
Hi, Garrett.
I got a question.
Yes.
The first one is, what situation comedy series was in colors for the first three seasons but switched to black away for its final season because of the change in networks?
So what situation comedy was in color for the first three seasons but switched in black and white for its final season?
For its final season.
Yeah.
So when it was in color, was it just filmed in color, but it wasn't necessarily shown in color?
Well, it wasn't shown in color, but it was for the first three seasons, but it switched to black and white when it changed the networks.
Right.
Was it Gilligan's Island?
No.
Okay.
And so
I'll give you a clue. It was a comedian who had later his own talk show.
So the plot was a comedian that had his own talk show?
Yeah, he started the press agent first season, but then switched to a talk show in the second season.
Oh.
So on the show, he had a talk show?
Yeah.
The Joey Bishop Show?
Yes.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in color for the first three seasons of NBC, but it switched to black and white for the final season of CBS.
Okay.
Yeah, the great Joey Bishop.
Go ahead.
Which four stars to be which previously appearing episodes of The Twilight Zone?
So, I'm sorry, which, start that again, if you would.
Which four stars the Bewitched later previously appeared on episodes of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, I'm sorry. So which four stars of Bewitched appeared on episodes of The Twilight Zone? Well, I know Elizabeth Montgomery did. She was in one with Charles Bronson once.
And the first Darren did. What was
and
his
Dick
name?
York was Dick in York one did. Where he played a guy who could read people's thoughts.
Oh, and Agnes Moorehead. She was in the
Agnes
great
Moorehead
one.
Agnes Moorehead played,
have a tough one.
Yeah.
Played one where the Martians had, they had a Martians had landed.
Yeah,
and they
and
were
the Martians were Earthlings.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
the fourth one is kind of tough.
Ooh, Dick.
Cast members of Bewitched that we haven't gotten yet.
I'll give you a clue. This actually played Darren's boss.
Oh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Larry Tate. okay. Let's see. Gosh. Yeah, I kind of can picture the guy, but I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know who it is.
You want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
It was David White. He played Larry Tate. He played it in an episode called I Slay the Body Electric. It was based on a short story by
Bradbury.
Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, today's the Super Bowl. And although I don't know the I know the score when I left and we managed to watch the halftime show, Lady Gaga was fabulous.
Was she?
Yeah, she really was. It was an astounding show. She basically leaped in on a wire from the roof of the stadium.
Oh.
And as far as I could tell, she actually did that. Anyway, so I looked into the history of halftime shows in the Super Bowl, and I found it interesting, as I'm sure everybody will. For the first five Super Bowls, they just had marching bands, and no one watched the Super Bowl. But in 1972, they decided to have two actual singing stars, one of whom was the first African-American performer. So who were those two stars? One group has headlined the halftime show five times. No one else, has, I think, has done it three times. I'm looking for that. My favorite question is this one. In 1987, the halftime headliners had both, not in that year, but in the past, had been both nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And they performed in 87. So in Super Bowl 21. And I'll give you one more, too. In 91, they finally said, let's make it popular. So they hired their first actual pop group to appeal to the kids. Who was the first pop group to appear as the halftime leaders? So who were the first individuals to perform? And one was the first African-American. The group that appeared five times, the supporting actors who co-headlined the halftime show, and the first pop group.
Hmm.
Was that it? Yeah, that was a good answer.
The first
too much Super Bowl?
African-American to perform. So he was not pop?
No. So this was somebody who was famous, but in 1971 was not like on the charts with top 10 hits. This would be somebody more from an older generation, I would say. That'd be the way I would phrase it.
Well, it's not Louis Armstrong.
No, but Louis Armstrong, it's of that ilk more than it's, say, Marvin Gaye. So if you're looking for ilks, that's a good
guess. Sammy Davis Jr.
That's not it either, but not bad. So we're looking for the two performers who are headlining singers,
okay,
who weren't in marching bands. And
yeah, all right.
Very good. People will know.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Big Radul and the Carnero.
Hi.
Hi, I've got a couple of movie questions I'd like to ask. First one is, what film leads to the sale of United Artists?
What film leads to the sale of United Artists? Well, that might have happened a couple of times. I want to say Heaven's Gate, but it's...
Heaven's Gate's the one that's the answer I have.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Very good.
Yeah. Because it was so
okay. Because it lost so much money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the budget was so...
Yeah.
In The Manchurian Candidate, what playing card causes the brainwashing?
Oh, it's the Jack of... Oh, it's a jack, I know, right? Or maybe it's a queen. It's a queen of. It's a picture card because I can. His girlfriend wore it as a thing. The Queen of Hearts.
No, it's the Queen of. Not the Queen of Spades. Isn't it Queen of Spades? Is it the Queen of Spades?
No.
Queen of Hearts?
No.
Okay. Get on the Queen stuff.
Oh, no. We guessed the wrong one of two. Well, it'll be another Oregon.
But it's a queen, isn't it? The queen.
Yes, it is the queen.
So it's
come on, Kira.
Diamonds.
Got it.
There you go.
Good job.
There you
are.
Brilliant.
What old time cereal opens George Lucas's THX 1138?
Oh,
Flash Gordon.
Close.
Oh, Buck Rogers.
Got it.
All right.
One last one. What is unusual about the movie Weary River?
Well,
Yeah,
it's that 1929, Richard Barthelmess.
Yeah.
It's probably the first instance of a lead singing voice being dubbed.
Okay, well, that's very possible.
Well, you have a different answer than that.
You're probably right, Dana, but I got something else.
Okay, all right.
Does he have the right movie, the 1929?
Yes,
okay,
does.
I have no idea.
Plays a convict in prison and becomes a singing star all over the radio.
And they dubbed his voice.
Yeah, well, his singing voice. He couldn't sing, but not his talking
voice.
But
something completely different than that, right, caller?
Mm-hmm.
Was there play? In other words, did they pre-record that? And was that sort of maybe what you're thinking of, pre-record the songs?
No, not really.
Okay. No. All right. Go ahead and tell me what you.
Okay.
You had.
Well, it was half silent and half talkie.
Oh, well, there were a bunch of films in 28, 29.
There were.
They were half
well,
and half.
Well, I believe this was the first, but I'm not.
So they still had captions for some of the dialogue and then talking for the other. I think that's what they did in some of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and it didn't. What was kind of interesting is it started out silent, then there was, you know, talking, and then went back to silent.
Right.
It was kind of strange, but anyway.
Anyway, okay, thanks. Appreciate
it. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'll do a couple questions here. Of course, the Academy Awards are coming up this month, right?
Maybe.
February.
And yeah, the end
maybe,
of this
month. Maybe.
Well, it could be a different month.
All right. No, I think it's February. I think it's the end of February. Who is the only person to produce, direct, and star in two Best Picture Academy Award winners? The only person to produce, direct, and star in two Best
Picture.
How about
Warren Beatty?
No. Mm-mm. Not Warren Beatty.
Best Picture winners?
Best Picture winners, yeah.
So Reds and Heaven Can Wait didn't do both those
Heaven
things?
Heaven Can Wait didn't win the Best Picture.
Okay. No. So produce, direct, and star.
Yeah. Yeah, the only person to produce, direct, and star in two Best Picture Academy Award winners.
Is this going to be pre-1980?
I don't think I'm going to specify a year yet.
Okay.
I'll give
you
a hint.
This person did it twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think of some others who did it once.
So once more, who is the only person to produce, direct, and star in two Best Picture Academy Award winners?
Did Clint Eastwood do it?
No.
Clint Eastwood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Million Dollar Baby is one of them.
Uh-huh.
And the other would be?
Not with Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Million Dollar Baby and Unforgiven.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right.
There you go. Good job. Good job. Ooh, okay.
Almost guess Woody Allen, which he did it once, I think.
All right. One guess each on these. This is according to the Forbes magazine list of the best women's colleges in the United States. Of the 12 best women's colleges in the United States, how many are actually named after women?
Wait, you want a number?
I want all of them that are actually named after
and are
women.
These still? Women's colleges, are they things like Sarah Lawrence, for instance, which was a women's college but is co-ed now, and that would be on the list?
No, Sarah Lawrence is not on the list, and it's not. It wasn't one of the 12 best women's colleges.
All right. Okay. All right.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. So how many of the top
12? I don't necessarily
12?
Agree or disagree with the list. I'm just telling you what the list is.
Yeah.
So
how many of the top 12 women's colleges are named after women?
Exactly.
And once we get the number, then we'll name them.
No, just give me the. I just want the names of the ones that you think are named after women. That's all.
Okay. Well, Sarah Lawrence, I thought was sure was going to be one. So
and
I
if you give me the women's first names, I have those too.
What?
They're named after.
It used to be the sister college of Tulane. Sophie, not Tucker.
Sophie Tucker at a college.
No, not Sophie Tucker. Like Sophie Newcomb.
No.
That's not, okay. Mm-hmm. That's not
okay, so once more, according to the Forbes list of the 12 The 12 highest-ranked women's colleges in the U.S., how many are actually, or what are the ones that are actually named after women?
Do the names have the first and last name like Sarah Lawrence, or might it be ones I don't know like Vassar? Because I don't know who Vassar is.
Vassar is not named after a woman, but yeah, it could just have a last
okay,
name.
Could, okay,
that's fine. Yeah.
So Tucker.
All right. I'm going to give you, since you got my first question, I'll give you one more.
Okay.
This is probably Kyrie will probably get this.
A lot of pressure.
I want to get something.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I hate it when they do that.
What are the only two scientific elements that were named after non-scientists? I mean, not real people who were non-scientists.
You asked an element question.
Did you ask that question?
No, she didn't ask that one. But mm-hmm. But this is in your wheelhouse, right? You asked an element question. What states can be named? I was listening that night. You should know this.
What are the only two scientific elements that are named after real people who were non-scientists?
Yeah.
I can name plenty that are after scientists.
I know.
Scientists, but
So... Are these, you want to give us a hint, like are these explorers? Like is one named after Columbus?
I don't think it's going to help you too much, but I will tell you that one of them was a mining engineer and one was a landowner.
Oh, a landowner.
And I'm only going by what Wikipedia said. So one was a mining engineer and one was a landowner.
Are these both pretty famous people?
One name you will recognize quite easily, yeah. One, yeah.
Wow. You just own some land and you get an element named after
it. Yeah, right. So what are the only two scientific elements that are named after real people who were non-scientists? And
I think our callers are going to love this question.
Yeah. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, I'm listening to you guys on my phone because I only have one radio to listen to the Super Bowl on.
Oh.
And they're in overtime.
Uh-oh, overtime. That's bad.
Yeah.
So there goes my introduction.
Yeah, my introduction, too. Go ahead. What's up?
I really don't have any answers to your questions. I can guess that science, the two elements, but I have no guesses at all.
All right, guess it.
The question.
Yes.
How many colleges have had presidents that also had quarterbacks in the Super Bowl? How many colleges had the two, you know, the... president that was also in the Super Bowl.
How many colleges had presidents who were former quarterbacks in the Super Bowl?
No, not quarterbacks, but I've had both a winning, had a participating quarterback in the Super Bowl and a president.
Is University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, one of them?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is.
Good job.
Well, you mean Gerald Ford and Tom Brady. Is that what you... Is that?
Well, I meant Gerald Ford, and I figured we must have had some...
The guy in the curl. Is that one of the answers?
Yeah, that is one of the answers. Right. I don't remember all of them.
Kira Pace got a sports question. I would like
that's a double
recording.
Bell, yeah. That's going in the archive. You could retire now.
Since you don't remember all of them, I think what we should do is leave it out for people if they want to guess.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know the answers.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit easier. So we'll leave it out.
There are three others. I'll give you that hint.
Okay, thanks.
So we could combine. Was there a president who went to Notre Dame?
No.
Or was I thinking Joe Montana?
Don't remember the total list.
Okay.
I can't find the paper. Sorry, guys.
All right. That's okay. We'll leave it out. Thanks.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Laurie in the Richmond.
Hello.
Hi, I have a couple guesses for the women's colleges.
Yes.
What about Scripps?
Yes, Ellen Scripps. Very good.
Okay, I didn't know the name. And Mills?
Yes, Susan Mills.
Okay, and then I don't think it's separated anymore, but what about Radcliffe?
No.
Okay, because it's not, probably.
Right.
Okay, and let's see. Oh, I was going to guess Mary Pickford for the... Well, I was going to guess Clint Eastwood, which someone already got, and you gave me a bell, so I don't need another one. But because Mary Pickford, you know, did a lot of her own producing and writing.
Right, but she didn't have any best pictures.
I know.
All right.
Okay, that's not the point. All right. So I've been reading this wacky book because I'm trying to cheer myself up, and it's all about things, and since you mentioned the A thing... It's about Canada and
Kira's hometown.
Yeah, that's right.
Pardon me?
No, I thought we were speculating whether Kira was from Canada, but she's
not. I know, I heard that before.
Yeah,
she's pretending she's not.
But that's my reference back, and I know she's not, and yet still I'm persisting.
Excellent.
Okay, because I think they're, you know, I just was trying to connect. So this is a hilarious book, and it has all these little funny sayings, and so they use the word, one of the slang words is cake.
Cake?
Mm-hmm. My daughter figured this out, actually. So what college freshman and bright person, hi Charlotte, so what do you think cake is? It's a derogatory name in Canada.
C-A-K-E.
C-A-K-E, like, you know, wedding or...
All right.
And it's a derogatory name for something, and that's what the question is, right?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And I randomly opened to this.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Oh, good.
Yeah, oh, very good.
Well, it'll blow it for you, but I will tell you, and maybe this helped my daughter, because she took Italian, but it's among Italian Canadians, they use cake.
I'd like to point out that Pace, my last name, is an Italian last name, so of
I'm
all the Canadians that I'm not, I am most... I guess Italian or not Italian Canadian. So
basically,
so you should get
these
this.
Yeah. I know none of you are. I'm none of these things either. Okay.
And we have mispronounced your name.
Would you like
name,
me to tell you, or would you like me to be like the other guy who calls in with a question he doesn't know the answer to?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Well,
if you want to leave it out, you can. We'll let people guess,
and you can tell.
Okay.
Them
and then I have another question. Unless I'm.
Go ahead.
Occupying too much time. Okay. I'm trying to impress my children. I realized that the first concert I went to, a rock concert, was Elton John at Dodger Stadium in 1975. Mm-hmm. And so there were two people, and he wore the Dodgers outfit, which has nothing to do with football, but I thought I'd just ask a semi-sports question. Do any of you know who opened for him? And I remember even being there and being however old I was, and just being shocked by the fact that one of the people opened for him.
Shocked because it
wouldn't... Because it didn't... It
made
it
no sense.
Anachronistic, I guess.
Oh.
So how about... Yeah. It would be somebody more like Perry Como than a rock star?
Oh, sorry. That's the wrong word then. Let's say genre challenge.
Okay. Genre challenge. So not rock, pop, but more like country or classical.
And it's someone who performs pretty much yearly in San Francisco. Well,
yearly.
Tony Bennett?
No.
Oh, that's a good guess.
It is a good guess.
Is that thinking in the right way? Somebody?
No.
Who, okay,
it's
no.
Not at
okay.
All.
All
even
right.
Though he's Italian, so that might help with the other one.
So Italian in a different genre.
No, it's not Italian. I'm sorry. I was teasing about the other question.
We no idea. No idea.
You have to tell us.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, well, Emmylou Harris, who plays at Hardly Strictly, opened for him.
Excellent.
And I believe my brother and I were the only people in the huge stadium who knew who she was. And then Joe Walsh.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
And the tickets were only $10.
Great deal.
Pretty cool. Okay. Yeah. So I will tell the cake answer. And don't blame me for the answer.
All right.
We won't.
All right. We'll put you on hold.
All right.
Hold on. All right, let's turn it over to Kira Pace from Canada.
All right, so let's see, which ones do I want to do? Okay, I've got a few rapid-fire questions about Saturday Night Live.
Excellent.
So, Saturday Night Live's first cast member to have been born after the show's 1975 premiere is also its longest-serving member, with 15 seasons so far. Who is it?
Oh. Keenan Thompson?
Keenan Thompson, surpassing Daryl Hammond, who had 14 seasons and is now the announcer. Three people joined the cast of SNL in their 40s. Who are they?
Was Christopher Guest one?
No.
Is Daryl Hammond one?
No. He was late 30s when he joined.
Okay.
He was late 30s.
Harry
Shearer?
Mm-mm. Martin Short.
Nope.
But that Harry Shearer.
Oh,
should have been.
Yeah,
because he was the star.
So how
in the
long
50s.
Ago are we talking about?
One is currently on. One, I think he was officially a cast member in the early 2000s, and one of them is from 1975. I'm sorry, no. Well, one of them's from 1975. The other one is actually from the mid 90s. That's when he had his year.
And one is currently on.
Yes.
So 75 is the first year. So somebody mm-hmm. in the original cast was over 40.
Yes, although he wasn't one of the ones you necessarily remember, I don't think.
Huh.
I think he only got his name like in the opening credits of maybe one episode.
Really? And then
yeah.
he's gone.
Hey, he played, he'd show up. And, he'd
and,
be there.
And one's still on, so I'm trying to think because I watch it.
Yeah.
He's over 40. Oh, Leslie Jones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
She
right.
is,
right.
yeah, she's Good 47. Job. She's the oldest. Or she got the SNL gig
yeah.
older than so, anybody else.
Okay, so we're still looking for the other two.
Uh-huh.
All right, so why don't you repeat the other two again,
please? Sure. Oh, you already got that one, too. Three people joined the cast of SNL in their 40s. Who are they? And we have Leslie Jones, so there's still two more, one from 1975, the other from the mid-90s.
The one from 1975 stay on, or it was just that single year as far as you know?
I think it might have just been the single year, but
and you said it was.
I'm afraid I have only seen these episodes in syndication, yeah. so I don't have a really good.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's not famous, like Dan Aykroyd.
He's
and
not
Chevy
Dan
Chase.
Aykroyd, Chevy
yeah,
Chase,
yeah,
famous.
Belushi, yeah.
He's so, not even Laurie Newman famous. He's
right.
That just reminded me of something. I have read that there are some episodes of SNL that they've never released to syndication because Lorne Michaels hated the. Guest host.
Oh.
Milton Berle is one.
Mm-hmm.
So are there many of those? Do you know anything about that?
No, I'd read about the Milton Berle one because he kept trying to ad-lib.
Well, he upstaged everybody. Yeah. I remember the show because I saw the show and it was kind of funny, but because
yeah.
I like Milton Berle. But,
right, and I'm not sure if the Dice, that Andrew Dice Clay was released into syndication.
Maybe. Right.
But it could have been. I don't know.
Mm. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lynn from Reno calling.
Hi, Lynn.
You know that ice thing? I'm taking a guess. It's like a snow cone, or it's called shaved ice?
It is like a snow cone, and it does have shaved ice, but I'm looking for the specific dessert that has the Tagalog name.
Tagalog bean or the other bean? Azuki bean.
You can make it with a variety of beans.
Yeah, you can make it with azuki bean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that it? Is that the right answer?
No.
No.
Okay. Nope.
No.
Sorry.
We
no.
have it all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks.
Bye.
So I have a guest from the cake. The caller called in with cake from
yes.
the Italian.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is from the studio audience, that it's poop or excrement. Do you have the answer in the booth? They don't seem to. Do we have the answer? We're getting blank looks. Did she leave the answer?
No.
That's the wrong
that's
answer?
Not it.
Okay. I apologize
right.
then.
Hey. All right. Your turn, Laurie.
Oh, okay. This is inspired by a question by you. You asked...
is it?
Yeah, it is. It really was. I liked it. It was,
so this is going to reflect well or badly on me?
It's going to reflect well on both of us, I
okay.
think. So you asked Academy Award actresses whose the entire name of the film was the name of their character, like
uh-huh.
Kitty Foyle.
Right.
So these are seven people won Best Actor for playing a role in which the person they played... it was a one-word title, and that's the entire name of the film. It's the name of their character in the film.
Oh. And they won the Academy Award for that?
For Best Actor. Seven cases. So they're all one-word names of the person's name. So if it was like Atlas, well, it's a real person.
Charlie.
Yeah. So
Cliff
Charlie,
Robertson.
But he's not real. So these are all real
Oh,
people.
Real. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Sorry, they're all won Best Actor.
Mm-hmm. They're one Best Actor, and the name of the film is a one-word title, and it's the name of the character.
And when you say one-word title, it means there's definitely no the
oh,
in front of it.
No
okay.
the.
Marty.
Okay.
Marty's fictional, so he doesn't
oh.
count either. So Marty and Charlie are in the fictional version with Hamlet and other people.
So it has to be only the name of the...
Mm-hmm.
So I
it's
can't,
either the first
not the
or
life, not the life of Louis Pasteur or something
it's
like that.
It's not the life of Louis Pasteur.
Okay.
If it was just Pasteur, that would be it. But that isn't the
Maybe
title
Maybe in some
of the movie.
Countries it was. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought you would nail this easily. Well, then people know all these films.
It has to be. It has to go back a ways. Okay. Just give the premise once more.
Okay. So seven people won best actor for playing a real-life character, and that character's name is the entire, in one word, is the entire name of the film.
Mm. Okay. Geez, I have Academy Award.
It could be their first or last name. It's not both because it's just one word.
We should, you don't have to repeat that, but we should repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, what do you have out?
What part of the pig are you eating if you're eating a hog maw?
Maw.
What dessert whose name comes from Tagalog for mixed together is made of shaved ice, evaporated milk, and your choice of inclusions? Edmund McElhaney didn't found his namesake company in any Mexican state in 1868, but in which Mexican state did he most ironically not found it? And, three people joined the cast of SNL in their 40s. Who are they? And we already have Leslie Jones.
All right.
And I'm looking for the first two stars of the Super Bowl halftime show who were not marching band. One is also the first African-American headliner. One group has headlined the halftime show five times. Which group? One Super Bowl halftime headliners had both been nominated for supporting actor at some time in their career before that. Who are they? And we don't think of them in this kind of role. Mm. And when in 1991, when they decided to get hip, go pop, who was the first actual popular group to headline the Super Bowl halftime show?
Okay.
Very much Lady Gaga-ish.
According to Forbes magazine, of their list of the 12 best women's colleges in the United States, I'll just say there are four on the list. Which four are actually named after women? So far we have Mills, Susan Mills, Scripps, Ellen Scripps. There are two left on that list.
So Sophie Ducombe was what I was trying to remember, but that's not on the
list. That's
not
on the list, yeah.
It finally came back.
Never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's in Louisiana.
Oh.
Near Tulane.
Okay. Is that a black? Is that a black
college? No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. And the only two scientific elements that are named after real people, non-scientists. What are the only two scientific elements that are named after real people who are not scientists?
Can I take a crack at that Super Bowl question, the Super Bowl halftime?
Yeah.
All right.
Talk to him.
Talk
all right.
To me. Yeah.
One of the first ones, Belafonte?
No.
Oh, well.
Really
and then
guess.
Pop groups still famous in the 90s, maybe New Kids on the Block?
That is it.
Oh,
they
good
were the
job
first
on that.
Popular group.
Yeah. There's two very sports good. Questions. Yeah,
that's right.
Go. One day.
Oh, you are kinda. You have bragging rights this week at work like you wouldn't believe.
I'm
not sure that's a sports question, but we're counting
no,
it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, well, it's kind of sports.
just give me this.
Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is Kyra Pache, raising Canada and Florida and the Bay Area.
Speaks Italian fluently.
Yes. And Lori Fisher, who a professor emeritus at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on KALW 91.7 FM. That is your local public radio station. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay. I think I'm going to skip my Academy Awards questions because you have that one out already and no sense asking two tonight. But, so you may remember last week I asked the most quoted women poet, or not women poet, the most quoted women writer in the Oxford English Dictionary.
George Eliot.
And that was George Eliot.
Yeah.
That was sort of the secondary question. This is the primary question. And after Shakespeare, who are the six most quoted writers in the Oxford English Dictionary? After Shakespeare, who are the six most quoted writers in the Oxford English Dictionary? And I will say that they all wrote in the English language, which you probably would have figured out on your own.
So does that mean the poet Burns doesn't count?
He's not on the list.
He would count. He
okay.
would count. But that's not
if he were on
anyway.
The list.
If he were on the list, which he's not. So after Shakespeare, who are the six most quoted writers in the Oxford English Dictionary? And I'm sorry to say that there are no women in this list. But that's just the way.
And they're all quoted more than George Eliot, huh? Probably.
Yes, okay. Unfortunately.
So I'm going to get, I have two guesses. You want to go first?
No.
Okay.
I'll give you one guess.
Okay. Charles Dickens.
That's correct.
Okay.
Charles Dickens actually is number five.
All right.
With 8,000.
8,000 citations.
8,000 citations.
How many did Shakespeare have? Do you have that?
No, but more than 8,000.
Yeah. Okay. But just one guess for now?
One guess for now. Kyra? Kira?
I'm going to go American and say Mark Twain.
No Americans on the list.
Of course.
Yeah, since it's the OED, my guess is they're looking.
I thought maybe they'd have like alternate something or another.
Yeah, stuff that's beneath them.
But right. No.
Americanisms.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
All right. Give me your other guess.
George Orwell.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, those are the two I would have been most certain of.
Yeah.
Okay. Then thanks for giving me a second guess.
Can I take a British guess?
I don't think he wrote enough to all these people have quite a
prolific
body of work.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And they examined a lot.
Oh, I was just going to guess William Blake, but I don't know how.
No.
I would think poets are less, maybe
probably.
Not. It's just,
I'll stick to the sports questions this evening.
Yeah.
All right.
Your specialty.
Leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have a guess.
Yes.
For the Mexican state, is it Tabasco?
It is Tabasco.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Of course. That's great. That you're, yes.
And that's made by the McElhinney?
Yeah.
David got it.
Yeah.
Too bad he's in the isolation booth. Yeah,
that's the one the family has an island off Louisiana or something, right?
I know they are from Louisiana. I can't tell you about their land owning.
Okay.
Although
that's where their headquarters was. It's in
McElhinney,
Louisiana.
The guest then for periodic table landowner?
No.
Oh, well.
And I'm sorry, the caller. Did you have? Oh, that's it. Okay. Yes, you were correct. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, all. Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Good.
Avery Island is what you had in mind, Kira, for the McElhinney family.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. And that ties it into a Neutral Milk Hotel, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
to the gentleman who said called about U.S. president and college that had both the Super Bowl winner and U.S. president, U.S. Naval Academy.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
And Roger Staubach.
Oh, very good.
Right.
Ooh, yeah.
Good.
Super Bowl halftime.
Yeah.
Was Ella Fitzgerald the first?
She was, Sparky.
Her.
Way to go. 1972, she was the first professional singer to sing, and she had a co-star with her. Do you know who it was?
I do not.
All right, we'll leave it out there. So Ella Fitzgerald was in the first show and the first African-American to perform.
And, of course, up until, throughout the 70s and 80s, Up With People did a lot of halftime shows. Yeah.
They did five of them, amazingly enough, in 15 years. They had one-third of those. Very good.
Yeah.
We missed them.
So clean. Yeah.
It was beyond clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the days.
Also, the question about Academy Award-winning actor who won, your question, Jamie Foxx.
Produced, direct, and starred.
Oh, Ray.
No, Ray.
Ray is one of them. Very good. Yeah. Sorry, that was my question.
What are you pointing at me for?
Yeah. I thought it was your... We got that one. Yeah. For Ray Charles. Very good.
And meanwhile, while we're on the Bell Parade, Kira, your question about first-time SNL cast members over 40,
mm-hmm.
Michael McKean.
Yep. He was from the 90s. Yep.
Good.
And George Coe.
Shownuff.
Oh, he was in the original cast, wasn't he?
He was in the original cast. Yeah. He was, like, in a few sketches and never did much. But what was the last thing that he did? He passed away, like, last year or 2 years ago.
The last thing that he did for SNL?
No, last thing that George Coe did.
Oh, career-wise.
He was on television.
He was on TV. He died. He was still on TV, huh? I have no idea.
Nope.
Yeah.
He was actually on an animated series that's on FX.
Oh, good for
is
him.
Is he on Archer?
He was on Archer.
No kidding.
Wow, very good.
He was...
is he the Woodhouse. Butler or Woodhouse? Yeah.
Yeah.
The valet.
The valet. The question about college, I'm going to throw in Barnard, but I doubt it.
No.
Okay. I'm on a good streak, and we're going to go out like this.
All right.
We're done.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Regarding the SNL cast members who joined in their 40s, Garrett Morris? I'm sorry?
Garrett Morris?
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't he in his 40s when he joined, as well as Phil Hartman?
No. Phil Hartman was, I think he was in his 30s, but not 40s.
And Garrett Morris was young in 1975.
Yeah.
Under 40, for sure.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. The movies with the one-word titles, etc. How about Gandhi?
That is one. Kingsley won for Gandhi in 1982. Very good.
And how about Bugsy?
No. Bugsy didn't get a Best Actor award, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
How about Patton?
Yes. George C. Scott won in 1970 for Patton. Excellent.
All right, cool. Okay, bye.
So we have Patton, Gandhi, and Ray. We're looking for four more.
Not Ben-Hur, huh?
No, I had Ben-Hur in the other category. I'm not sure if it's
Judah,
one word.
Judah,
I'm not
Ben-Hur.
Sure if he's real.
I guess Judah was his first name.
It was the Best Actor.
All right.
So how about Henry Fielding for the OED in the top six quoted people?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Right. Have to turn to our studio audience in a minute.
And let's see. Whose turn is it? I think it's your turn, Kira.
Oh. Genius in France, Weird Al Yankovic's song about Jerry Lewis, is a style parody of what experimental musician whose son Dweezil played the guitar intro?
Oh, that's Frank Zappa.
Yep.
Yeah. All you had to say was Dweezil. You had to say Dweezil.
Yeah, that's why I put it at the end. So you could go, oh, no, it's a music question, but then you get Dweezil. So.
Yeah,
right.
So in August 1985, Frank Zappa testified in a Senate committee hearing or subcommittee hearing against allegations made by the PMRC. Name the two other musicians who testified against the PMRC during that hearing.
Was this about the obscenity and or
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Yes,
okay.
It was
the Tipper Gore hearing.
Right? She was one of the Washington wives part of the PMRC.
Yeah, right. So I remember Zappa. Oh, that's a good question.
Who else?
And so they're both performers, or were they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both performers. One part of a band. One. An unexpected, perhaps, inclusion here.
Was either one a woman?
Nope, both men.
Both guys. And would either one be considered, that they would be on the edge of being considered?
Was one kind of an anti-obscenity person like Pat Boone or something like that? You know, like somebody coming in and
attacking? Nope. So these were both on Zappa's side.
These were both on Zappa's side.
Okay, all right.
They were anti-labeling, anti any kind of censorship.
Right, and in part it was because, one of them felt, I'll give you the quote, that censors often misinterpret music and censorship is counterproductive.
And what year was this?
85.
Mm-hmm.
Were any of them African-American?
Nope.
Because rap was coming under some attack, I think, even then. Okay,
yeah.
So this is all rock music.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
the evils of rock
are
popular.
She's hedging.
I'll say pop. They were popular.
Wasn't Emmylou Harris from the
other
question.
No, it wasn't Emmylou.
Right?
No.
John.
No.
All right. That's a great question.
Okay. Leave it up. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Guess for the most quoted OED person, how about Pope?
No.
Woman's College Spelman?
Yes.
Oh.
Laura Spelman. Laura Spelman was married to John D. Rockefeller. They provided the money for the college, the seed money
The Super Bowl and president question for colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford.
Would have been who? John Elway?
Jim Plunkett.
Jim Plunkett.
Right. Because Elway went to Stanford, too, didn't he?
Elway did, but he won a Super Bowl.
Who's the president, though, who went to Stanford?
Herbert Hoover.
Oh, there
yes,
you go.
Yes, excellent.
Excellent.
Good job on that.
Of course. Thanks. How about for Best Actor, one-word title, did Anthony Hopkins win for Nixon?
He did not.
Mm-mm. Nah. Okay, I know he's nominated.
Yeah.
All right, and I've got one question. So what movie, and this one I don't know if anybody, it'll be tough to get, but what movie had the acting debut of three future Academy Award-winning directors?
The acting debut of three directors?
Three future
Academy Oscar-winning directors.
Were they actors at the time, or they were just slumming and making a cameo appearance or something?
I know they were actors at the time.
Okay. What year would this have been, if that wouldn't give it away?
No, I doubt it. It's an obscure movie I'd never heard of. So it was 1962.
So the acting debuts in 62 to people who became Academy Award winning directors, right?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting question. But the movie's not famous, but the actors and directors are, right?
What kind of movie is it?
It's a war movie.
It's not Hell Is for Heroes, is it?
No.
You said Academy Award winning directors, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them, their screen appearances is uncredited.
Oh.
But the other two were.
But it's a war movie.
It's a war movie. It's a Korean war movie.
Korean war movie. 62.
Wow.
Give me one of the stars. I know I'm asking for a lot here. Give me one of the stars of the movie.
John Saxon.
Ow.
Dana actually is in pain.
Yeah,
over that John, answer. John, the great John.
Okay, yeah.
Was John Cassavetes? Did he ever?
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
That's good. Yeah.
Gavin McLeod is in it, as well as Tom Skerritt.
I can kind of picture it a little bit. Is red in the title?
No.
Okay. All right.
You're just
guessing
individual
words.
Is it Porkchop Hill? Is that the movie?
No, it's 59, okay. I think. Okay.
It's directed by Dennis Sanders, if that helps.
No, it doesn't help. Uh-huh. No. All right. Tell us. Or you can tell us the movie.
We're not going to
know. Go ahead. Tell us the movie.
It's a movie called War Hunt.
Okay. I've vaguely heard of it.
Yeah, and it's with the actors. It was Robert Redford's screen debut,
okay,
as well as Sidney Pollack.
Ah, that's right. He was an actor.
Yeah.
And the uncredited Francis Ford Coppola played a driver in an uncredited scene.
Interesting.
Well, that's great. That's a
good,
really good question.
I'm sorry we didn't do better with it.
No problem. I'd never heard of the movie. or the director, or John Saxon, for that matter.
Oh, John Saxon, I know. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Oh, I'm Luna. I'm calling from Berkeley. I have a couple of guesses for the Tagalog dessert. Is it Halo Halo?
That's the one.
Oh, good job. I'm glad you got that.
So tasty. And then I'm wondering, for one of the six most quoted in the dictionary, is one of them Oscar Wilde?
No.
And
okay.
Good guess.
Yes, I should have been. But no.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And
I have some guesses from the studio audience on the OED.
All right, go ahead.
Because we're getting close. How about Trollope?
No.
Thackeray?
No.
Samuel Johnson?
No.
Oh. So I'm keeping going.
Samuel Johnson didn't make it to the dictionary?
Chaucer.
Yes.
All right.
Chaucer. 11,000 mentions.
Okay. What number is Chaucer then?
He's number 3.
Okay. How about Milton?
Yes,
all
number
right.
2, 12,000 right. mentions.
Redemption. And the last one, the studio audience is guessing, is Wordsworth.
No.
Okay.
Can I get one more guess in on this best actor thing?
Wordsworth is boring.
What? This one?
Go ahead.
The one word ones?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Lincoln?
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Of course.
2012, he's the most recent. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for three more. We have Patton, Gandhi, Ray, and Lincoln. Very good.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Richmond.
Hi, John.
And I think I have an answer and a question.
Yes.
The answer, Alfred Nobel, Nobelium, an element named after a real person who's not a scientist.
Yeah.
You know, he's not on my list, and I
thought he
I would almost
dynamite?
Qualify him as a, yeah, I'm no. going to qualify him as a scientist, but maybe he's more of an inventor, so I'll give you credit for that, because you're...
Well, you said mining engineer.
Yeah, I did.
But he's not who you were thinking of.
But it's not who I was thinking of, but you get credit for that, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you have a Saturday Night Live question out there. I was wondering if any of you remembers the original name for Saturday Night Live. Very similar, but not quite.
It was just Saturday Night.
Yeah. Do you know the circumstances that made it be called Saturday Night Live?
Oh. What was it? Anything to do with Howard Cosell's show?
Yes, that's what I remember.
Yeah.
He had Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell, and everyone called Saturday Night Live, and they resisted a while, and then they stopped.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's
okay.
Good.
All right.
Oh, so you knew. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Brooklyn.
Hi, Thomas.
I have a non-trivia question for Kira.
All right.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I just really like your name. Did you make it up, or is that your real name?
No, that's my real name. And in fact, it comes from a novel from an author who...
Anna Karenina.
No. Although, no. Sorry, what's your question?
That was I just asked if that was your name.
Oh, no. It's my mom... My mom named me from an Ayn Rand novel.
Really?
The shame. Yes, We the Living, so...
Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's,
thank you.
So basically, I'm going to try for the movies, of course, but is Braveheart going to be it?
For me? For the one where Ted is? No.
Oscars.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was referred to Braveheart or whatever.
You know, and I'm not sure he won Best Actor, but he's not on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did get Best Actor.
No, he didn't.
That was Dana.
Mel Gibson did not get Best Actor. He won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, forget I said that.
Okay.
I did call in with Amadeus last week and got a bell. I should get it again?
Well, I'm giving you half a bell, only because it's a great name, answer, right, yeah. But the winner didn't play Amadeus.
Oh,
he played
right.
Soyer. So that was going to be my kind of... that one person won in a one-word title for a role he didn't play,
okay,
and that's the answer. Give him a bell for that. Right. That's a great answer. It wasn't what I asked, but it's a great answer. Yeah.
Milk has to be right.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
There you go.
Sean Penn won in 2008.
Okay, I got a legal bell.
Legal bell.
Thanks.
Thank you, Thomas. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Jeremy from San Francisco.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, I guess I will be quick since we seem to be short on time.
Right.
The hog maw, I'm going to guess the gastrointestinal tract.
It's part of the gastrointestinal tract.
Oh, I'm not
the intestines.
Nope. That's right. Those are the chitlins.
Elementine, that's for people that aren't scientists.
Right.
Americium, I know it's named after a country named after a person, but...
No.
Okay. And then I guess Berkelium probably is named after the school, which is named after a person.
Right.
And I'm guessing Radon is not named after Radon Chong.
No.
Okay.
I like your thinking.
Capote.
Oh, that's what, yeah, Capote. Philip Seymour Hoffman won for Capote. Very nice. So we're missing one on that list.
Disraeli.
That's it.
Excellent.
George Arliss in 1928 run for Disraeli. Oh, thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. The most quoted in the OED, I'm going to guess, anonymous.
No, it's, I understand your logic.
I'm half joking about that.
Yeah, no, I see your logic, but no, not that.
All right, what about the Bible?
No.
Okay. And then the hearings, I actually wrote a question on this, co-wrote last year with a brilliant co-writer. In addition to Frank Zappa, I believe the other two are the one and only John Denver and Dee Snider.
That's right.
Oh,
those are his unlikely compatriots.
Twisted Sister.
And the Twisted Sister.
And Rocky Mountain High, which had been misconstrued by censors earlier.
Right.
So-called misconstrued.
Thank you. I'm sorry we have to run, but...
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, time to clean up here quickly. Kira.
The part of the pig you're eating, if you're eating hog maw, is the stomach. I think that's it.
Oh,
did we get all the questions of the people in their 40s in Saturday Night Live?
Yes, yeah. Sparky of Sparky and Maddie.
Oh, that's right. Okay. In Super Bowl VI, Ella Fitzgerald co-headlined with Carol Channing in the first stars. And then we got the new kids on the block. The two supporting actors who co-starred were George Burns and Mickey Rooney co-starred as the headliners of the Super Bowl halftime show in 1987.
Wow.
Watch it on YouTube. It is... Whoa, kind of surreal.
The women's colleges, of the best women's colleges in the U.S. that are actually named after women, the ones nobody got, Smith College, Sophia Smith. Actually, that was the only one that nobody got. Okay, after Shakespeare, the most quoted writers in the OED, the ones nobody got, Sir Walter Scott, number one, 15,000.
Wow.
John Dryden, 9,000. Lewis Carroll, 7,000. Okay, the two elements that are named after non-scientists, Livermorium, Robert Livermore was this landowner there. And Sumarium, and that's named after Vasily Samarsky Bykovets, who was a mining engineer. Anyway,
oh, our panel... From the booth, cake is an Italian-Canadian term for a white person.
Oh. Okay. Our panel tonight...
Kira, you didn't know that.
Kira Pace. Thank you, Kira. Lori Fisher from Davo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott and handling board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.
Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other?
KALW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, which invites you to a conversation with MacArthur genius George Saunders, whose last short story collection, 10th of December, prompted the New York Times Sunday Magazine cover story to rave, "Saunders has written the best book you'll read this year." Saunders will discuss his first novel, Lincoln in the Bardo, with author Dana Spiatta. Monday, February 13th at 7 p.m. Information at jccsf.org/arts. This is 91.7 KALW, San Francisco.